Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to be talking about the types of deals that you're going to start seeing here in the near future because of the coronavirus, COVID-19, and the impact it's having on the economy now and the impact it will have on the economy in the near future. So I think this is a great subject. It's very relevant at this time. And our last podcast episode, we were talking about how the best time to know and use creative financing is in these downturns, because you can leverage just a small bit of liquid capital and buy, a lot more properties. So Jeff, take it away.
Well, look, before we do that, I think we just discussed that we better start making our announcements up front so people listen to them, right?
Yeah, we just talked about this.
So, guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, right now we're looking for someone that can help us blast out our podcast and build up our YouTube channel and get on the various social media networks, such as Instagram, maybe Twitter. But we're looking for someone who has some experience in that and can help us out by promoting this, on Facebook and Instagram and just help us manage our social media accounts. And if you can, Jeff is willing to help you out, put you into his apprenticeship program or, do some consulting with you, be a mentor, and exchange value that way. So, if you are interested in that, please reach out to us on our hotline, and that's 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. And then also, if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, you can get a hold of him there and just mention that specifically. Other than that, Jeff made a step-by-step video where he walks you through how to create offers on a single-family home and an exit strategy for those offers. To get that, just text CFP or Creative Financing to our hotline number, and you can get special access to that link. And then, guys, we're on Facebook, the Creative Financing Podcast, so go there and like us. We're going to continue to build our page there. And then, yeah, what else you got, Jeff?
Yeah, one of the things that we should probably let new listeners know is that if you're just starting out in creative financing, you've just found our podcast, it is absolutely in your best interest to go back to the very beginning, the episode one, and listen to the first 7, 8, 9 episodes, because we lay out all the different strategies, the pros, the cons. We have a calculator, a basic calculator class, things like that, so that now you could skip around. And I would tell you that it's funny. I look back at all of our downloads and I see which is the most popular type of episodes. And the most popular is subject to, which is like the easiest strategy of all. Yeah. I'll tell you the one that you people should be listening to is substitution of collateral type episodes, because if you understand what that means and how you can use that, not only you're going to get paid a lot of money, and then you're going to have use of a lot of money for cheap. So you cannot possibly fathom how important those types of episodes are. And but then you could go skip around, right? You got to start with that foundation. If you don't have it yet, start at the beginning. Otherwise, you're going to be lost.
Right. Yeah, totally agree. And I love what you said about substitution of collateral, because we've made several episodes on that and how that just keeps on paying you.
That is crazy that you know, when I look at, you know, what are the more popular episodes, it's subject two. It's like, I can teach you subject two in 5 minutes.
Right.
And it is so super easy. And yes, you can use it in a number of different ways. And but when you start understanding how to structure owner financing in good times, like what we've had over the last several years, now you've got to be creative, right? You're trying to convince sellers that don't need to, you know, they can go put their house on the market and probably sell for full market value. Now you got to convince them to use you and look at creative finance. In a downturn, I don't have to convince anyone. I'm providing solutions for people. And yep, they're not going to have very many choices. And I'm going to be the problem solver. Much simpler, right? I don't have to be super creative. It's like, I create a solution, they'll probably be in.
Right. And
that's what we're going to talk about today, is looking at some of the different types of deals that you're going to probably start to see more of and how you're going to deal with them.
Yeah. So let's get into it.
Okay. So I personally think that you're going to start seeing three different types of deals, and we'll cover, you know, each one for like three episodes. Okay. So the first one is default, which as of right now, there is a forbearance going on with foreclosures, with evictions, and but we're probably almost halfway through, I think, the 60-day forbearance. And so you're going to say, well, why? I don't understand. You know, and some of these banks are claiming that they will do a forbearance up to 12 months. Trust me on this, you are going to see more foreclosures or at least defaults over the next 3 months to, you know, 12 or more months, because I know how these banks are. Okay? They may have certain guidelines to follow, but they're not going to follow them. And I know this because we did this once before in 2008. And yeah, some of them will get forbearances. Don't discount that. They will. Others will not. And you will be able to capitalize on some of these properties. And when I say capitalize, you will help this seller, because 20, as of right now, 22 million people are out of jobs, have filed unemployment. Some of these are homeowners, and they're only going, some of them will get hired back, some of them will not. Some of them will end up somewhere else, maybe in a lower paying job, and not able to afford what they've already got, or that they need money and they need to sell and access some of that equity that they have in their property.
Right. To pay bills.
Yeah. So if they start falling behind, it's going to give you an opportunity to swoop in and help them and help you too. So I had three pending deals, all properties that were in default the day before the president announced that there would be a 60-day forbearance. All three were then put on hold because they were all living in the property. And now they just bought themselves a 60-day vacation, basically. So let me just show you one example. And you're going to find deals that have quite a bit of equity. You're going to find deals that don't have as much equity. And we're going to cover all the different aspects so that you know how to deal with which ones and which ones that you're going to say no to. Because there are going to be some that it's like, hey, this isn't going to work. Just because they're in default and they're willing to sell the property to you doesn't mean that it's a deal.
Okay.
All right. So the property had an ARV of $250. They owe $128,000. They were behind about 20 grand. They have some other lien, and I didn't even get this far to know what kind of lien it is, for 22,000. Their repair costs are somewhere between 40 and 50,000. We got to figure out, even though the seller hadn't asked for any money, I assume the seller would want some money. We've got to figure out how much to give the seller. The payment is $789 a month, so pretty low. And and I can't remember, that might even include taxes and insurance. And it would rent for, let's say, $1,200 to $1,400. All right. So if you look at this, we would, what our goal would be is to bring the loan current, okay? Almost always. Why? Because it's much cheaper than borrowing hard money and paying the whole thing off. The only time that that may not make sense is when you start finding people that are behind a lot of money. But I don't think you're going to see that as much. You're going to see people, you know, their payments are really low, like 789, and you know, maybe they're behind 10 months, and you know, so maybe they're behind 10 grand, something like that. So even if you have to go find that money, you would want to do it, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you that there's not a chance that I was going to rehab this property, none, zero. And it's probably 50 minutes from where I live in office, and there was not a chance that I was going to end up doing a rehab on this property. So if we look at 128, we'd have to bring about 20 grand to the table. And then you're looking at $22,000 lien. By the way, what are we going to do with a lien on the property, Jonathan?
Try to discount it.
You betcha. If this property was going to foreclosure, and this was like 3 weeks away from the sale date, you know, that lien holder will be lucky. My goal will be is I will structure this where I am buying the property. I'm not even putting a purchase price on the purchase agreement. The reason for it is I'm buying it with subject to. So I buy it, you know, based on $128,000 plus whatever arrearage I've got to pay, whatever I agreed to pay the seller, and any liens. And that way, if I'm able to discount that, I get that benefit, not the seller gets that benefit. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So I would expect that I would get that lien down to around $2,000. But even if I get ended up paying them $4,000 or $5,000, you know, we're now into this for $132,000. And let's say I was going to give the seller $3,000 to $5,000. So we're into it around $135,000. But we got to come up with $20,000. Plus two, plus three, so 25 plus closing costs, something like that, right? Uh-huh. So we got to pay the arrearage, we got to pay off the lien holder that we discounted, and we're going to have to pay the seller plus closing costs. So we'll be into this for around $28,000, okay?
Okay.
What if you don't have $28,000?
Go borrow it.
That's right. Go find it. Bring in a partner. Bring in a private money lender. Do what you got to go do. Wholesale it. Where you don't even have to bring in the money. Wholesale it to someone else that will bring in all the money and bring you an assignment fee. But where are we at with all this? So we would be at around 135, maybe something like that, on a property that's worth 250, that needs about 50 grand in work. So there's at least a $15,000 wholesale fee there. But to be honest, depending on how much work there is, I'd probably just buy this and put it on the market myself, as is. You know, maybe just clean it up a little bit, depending on how much work it needs. Could I rent it? There's quite a bit of spread there. But here's why I wouldn't want to.
Because it requires 50K.
Well, let's say that I had to go put in $20,000-$25,000 in repair costs to get it rentable. And I already had to put in about $20,000 for a rearage. So now I've got $40,000. And I had to pay off the lien holder at $42,000. I paid off the seller. I'm at $45,000. I paid closing costs. I'm into it for, you know, $48,000.
Yeah.
If I rent it now, I could probably make, yeah, $600 a month cash flow, maybe. Yeah. 600 times 12 would be 72.
Yeah.
72. Divided by 48,000.
Cash on cash return, 15%.
So it's not bad, but do I want to really tie up $48,000 in this property? What I would more rather do, I think, is if I really wanted to hold this, is I'd want to try to refinance it. You know, depending on how lenders are going to be. But hey, if I bought it, I renovated it, I rented it, and then I refinanced it. So the Burr method, I should be able to pull all my money out and still have a decent rental based on interest rate. But I wouldn't want to keep this loan in place because now I got to leave my $48,000 in this property. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right now, what I want is some liquidity, right? Because liquidity allows me to buy this property. And, you know, I might end up being a landlord with no money out of pocket. Okay. Those are ideal, right?
Right.
If I could get into this property for, let's say, $8,000 down and a couple grand to the seller, and you know, maybe I'm into it for $13,000-$14,000. Now I can get a $500-$600 a month cash flow. All right, you want to leave your money in? That's a good rate of return on your money. That would make more sense to me. Otherwise, I'm looking at trying to get my money back out as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we potentially could wholesale it. We could rehab it if that's what we really wanted to do. We could burr it. So we could rehab it and then refinance for a rental.
Yeah.
We could go wholesale it. We have lots of options.
Right.
Safest option would be what?
Wholesale it.
Wholesale it, right?
Yep.
And maybe that's where you want to go. Even though that's like your cheapest option, but it also has no risk. If I buy this property, do I have some risk now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I do. And the market may not be, the market may be coming down. There may not be lenders. The good thing I know is that this is a price range that's super good in our market, right? So chances are this price range isn't going to get hit. I mean, you know, the median home price, this isn't in Salt Lake County, but it's in Utah County. So I would assume median home price maybe in Utah County is 330, 340, maybe something like this. Here we would be at 250. Affordability, I think, is going to matter as we go forward.
Right, absolutely.
So let me add a couple of other things, okay? So how would we buy this property? How would we structure it?
If you're giving the seller cash up front, you just buy it subject to.
So we could buy it subject to.
Yeah.
Are there other ways that we could buy it? Other strategies?
You can buy it on contract for deed. I don't think you'd do an all-inclusive you'd be paying the seller off and the lien holder off up front.
Yeah, it doesn't matter though. All-inclusive could be, difference between all-inclusive and contract for deed in this case is one, seller remains on title, buyer remains on title. That's really the only difference between the two. True. So here's what I would do. If I'm going to wholesale it, I would do a contract for deed or all-inclusive. That way, whoever the end buyer is going to be, the seller still has recourse, right? The seller will still be able to protect themselves if something down the road happened to that buyer.
Right.
That's a protection that I absolutely want being in the middle. Okay. Yeah. if I'm buying it and I'm going to burr it, I'm going to just hold it if that's what I decided to do. If I'm going to rehab it, if I'm going to wholetail it, I have zero problems taking this property subject to. But if I'm going to wholesale it, I'm going to look for another way of doing so.
Okay? Right.
What I think a lot of people are going to see is people that are in default. You always see this whenever people are in default. A lot of people will ask, I want to stay in the house. Have you ever come across that?
Yeah, for sure.
So what they want you to do is buy the house, rent it back to them, make them a loan, something that will allow them to stay in the house. What are your thoughts on that, Jonathan?
It's usually not in your best interest. In some cases, it might work, but usually it's not in your best interest.
I would tell you, I can't really think of too many instances where I would even consider it. I'd rather do it more of a loan than, a rent back. And here's the issue. Let me explain this just briefly. First of all, if I keep them in the property, I am severely hurting my opportunity cost. Right. I mean, they couldn't afford the $789, yes. And I need to make more than that. So,
right.
What's going to allow me to say, yeah, you can stay, but your payment just went up to $1,400.
That's not going to work.
That's not good, right?
Right.
And what if they say, I'll lease option it back from you. Yeah, we'll pay $200 and we'll pay you $1,200 a month cash flow. Okay. Well, here's the issue again. That would mean that you're leaving all your money in this most likely. And now you're cutting your cash flow and chances are they're not going to make those payments. And now what? Now you've got to evict them.
Yep.
And you basically didn't give them any money either. So now, if they want to make a big deal about this and take you to court, it's going to look like you kind of took advantage of them.
And, yeah.
that is not the role I want to be in. So I would tell them up front, and I do this all the time, I would love for you to be able to stay here. I just don't think it's a very good idea. Not for you, not for me. And there's actually laws in different states that may or may not prohibit you from doing this. And I would just say, don't do it.
It's
like, look, I can't make that happen for you. What I can make you happen is I can get you some money. I can even help you find some place to go. I can help you get started on a new chapter of your life where, you can leave this behind and you can start moving forward. I do not want to rent back to someone that's in foreclosure, pre-foreclosure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like leasing a property back to a tenant that you just evicted.
bad idea.
Just got evicted. You're leasing a property to.
I have done this a few times, and I never got in trouble for doing it, but it never ended well ever. Mm-hmm. And I've been over backwards for these people. Just don't do it. You got to stand firm. Some people will be firm, like, well, I got to stay in this house. It's like, it's not an option. And to be honest, if anyone offers you this option, I'd be really leery. And I've told people that, and that's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's people out there that are just, responsible financially, and there's people that aren't. And, chances are if they were irresponsible the first time, and maybe it's circumstantial, but they're going to do it again.
I don't know why they would no longer be in that situation. And it handcuffs me and what I can do with the property. And it is not a good thing, but I am not going to really give them money and let them stay in the property. Because now they're just going to end up paying me with my money until that runs out. And then, now they're going to be in the same boat.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather get them a moving van and pay their first and last month's rent somewhere and get them situated than keep them in the property.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's number one, defaults. Notice of defaults.
Okay.
Okay. Should we wrap this up and we'll do the next one?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So this will be a series, guys, on properties that will be more abundant here in the near future because of, you know, the Corona recession, I'll call it. Okay, guys. Well, hope you've enjoyed this. And again, please go out there and, you know, like and subscribe to this podcast if you haven't. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Google Play, please like it because it helps with the algorithm. When other people search for creative financing or seller financing, our podcast pops up as a suggestion for them. So please go out and do that. Again, our hotline number is 877-409-8090. And you guys can reach us there. And until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.